I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.
Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating. And just for the record, Jody is right. I mean, Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, high up MAGA guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is Sarah Wood. Now, we recorded the show yesterday, Wednesday, March 4th, but we're airing it today, Thursday, March 5th. Lots to talk about, but before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. Everything's so fucking insane. So before we get into all the fucking insane stuff, and some of it's good, let's just talk about this crazy weather. And I want to know what you're experiencing, because I want to start this off by saying last year, or at least at the beginning of this year, I don't know, I saw that the weather patterns this year were going to be specifically weird because the top half of the country is going through, I don't remember if it's like an El Nino or whatever, but it's going to be cold on the top of the country, warmer on the bottom of the country. So the middle of the country is going to go nuts. And it pretty much has. I'm in the middle part. So what we've been experiencing, like I want to find out, I think I can't remember if I talked to you after that snow in January, but oh my God, we had that snow and it immediately turned into sleet, which made, they call it snowcrete, which was like snow, like concrete. There's still fucking snow outside. It's all black, not a lot, but like where I live, there's this big mound and it's all black, but it's from freaking January. And I mean, we've had days in the 50s and the 60s here, and it's rained and rained and rained, and there's still that fucking snow. So now it snowed on, was it yesterday? No, it was the day before yesterday. On Monday, it snowed. It was so beautiful. Woke up yesterday after a rain. All the snow is gone. And now they're saying next Wednesday is going to be 80 degrees. So it said it was going to go up and down. So what's going on in your part of the world?
Well, I'm in New England. I'm on the coast of Connecticut, though. So a lot of times we will not get as heavy as storms. Like it'll go north of us. Like it'll hit like northern Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, kind of that way. But we did get that really bad storm like a week or so ago.
Where
it was just like, we got like Rhode Island, because it came in off the ocean.
Yeah.
So like Rhode Island got like 3 feet. We got about close to 2 feet. I think like 8 to 20 inches. So that's, but that is slowly melting because it has been warming and it's raining, but then it just turns to ice. So like it's like you have to be so careful
I know.
walking around. But yeah, it's been crazy. We didn't have that intense of a winter until like February. And it's been nuts.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's been, I was cold and everything. And then our snow came. I think we had one snow day. Yeah. I think what happened was it snowed at night, which made me angry because it's like, I want to see it. I like looking out the window and watching it snow. So, like, what's the point when it snows when I'm asleep? I get all the crap. I mean, it's nice to look outside and see like this beautiful, peaceful, snowy landscape that eventually just becomes dirty and disgusting and slushy. But
The
it's like
brown
if your
snow,
car is
yeah.
outside, you got to deal with that. And yeah, and I mean it's just been a crazy winter, but I think what's happening because of the climate crisis is I think we're getting shorter winters. So for you know, I mean I am not a winter hater. I did not like that snow thing that happened in January that turned into snowcrete. I couldn't even
Yes.
fucking get in my car for like 2 weeks. And because like the snow around it was like concrete and I just couldn't do anything. And anyway, so I did not like that, but I do like the chilly temperatures and, you know, but I miss California. Oh my God. And didn't you used to live in Pasadena?
I lived in Pasadena for 10 years.
I'm
Yeah, I miss
fucking
it too.
jealous.
It was like the best climate. And I'm like, why did I leave? But now I look back and like my apartment is like $1,000 more per month. And
Of
I was
course.
like,
Well, it's
oh, that's
expensive
why
and then
I
there's
left.
Right, there's it's expensive and there's threats of fire all the time and it doesn't matter where you live. You can live in the flats, doesn't matter. And then, you know, aside from that, there's the expense. There's what was the other thing that I couldn't stand about it? And I'm forgetting it. There's fires. Oh, earthquake. Because,
Earthquakes,
you know, they've been,
traffic.
I don't care about the little earthquakes. And I was, you know, I was there in the, were you in the Northridge quake?
Not the no, no, I wasn't there for
Yeah, I was
Northridge, no.
there. I was like 25 years old and I was living with my mother. And we had the earthquake, and oh my God, it was almost a seven, right? So it was really big. And I got on the floor and I crawled over to my mother's bedroom because there was a stairwell with like no guardrails. And I just thought, I don't want to get knocked down the stairs. And I just started screaming, Mommy.
Oh.
I was terrified. And then the funny thing was, my dad worked for ABC News and he was on the East Coast when this happened. So he saw over the wire that we had an earthquake. And he called me and he's like, you guys just had an earthquake. I'm like, really? Thanks for the heads up. But yeah, it's they're saying though that like even when I moved there in 1977, they were like, oh, the big one's coming, the big one's coming. So they haven't had a big one and they're fucking going to. And that's the other reason. I can handle like the 5.2 earthquakes, you know,
Oh
those don't.
yeah, those are nothing. Yeah, like I've been through a bunch of those and like
Yeah.
I was in one apartment in Pasadena and it was like a wooden frame and I thought it was going to fall down on me. So
Where in
we moved.
Pasadena were you in the south or more north?
That apartment was more like by Huntington Hospital,
Oh, okay.
like down that area, kind of
Yes. Oh
like
God,
off
it was so
Orange Grove.
beautiful. So
Yeah.
beautiful.
And then my other apartment, it was a steel, we moved into a steel frame newer building. And so
Yeah.
when we would get the earthquakes, it was kind of like jello.
Yeah.
But like you didn't feel like the building was going to fall down. It just kind of swayed with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you watch Shrinking?
I don't, but everybody tells me I should.
Well, it's very good. I think you would like it. And it's set in Pasadena. So whenever I
Oh.
watch it, it's like, oh my God, I just, all the fucking palm trees. Yeah, I
Oh,
highly
so
recommend it. I want you to
gorgeous.
watch it and tell me what you think.
Oh, I will. I will. I like the
And then,
cast,
okay,
so.
since we're talking about TV shows, I know we're going to get to politics, but I'm fucking obsessed with The Pitt. Have you seen The Pitt?
I've seen some of The Pit. I haven't seen all of it. I don't know
I
what I
love
get
it.
bored. I have the worst
Really?
attention span. Yeah.
That is my like I don't know if it's my most favorite show ever, but it's definitely one of them. And I love and I'm is it Catherine Nassar? I don't know how to say her name, but she plays Nurse Dana, and I fucking love her. And I love everybody on the show. I love Noah Wiley. I can't believe like Bob and I were late to the show, and then we started watching it, and then we got hooked. So we watched the first season. Now the second season is on, and I think we have three more shows to get caught up because then it's weekly. And we're
Oh.
both like in a panic. My mother's in a panic because she's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when it's over? And we have to wait until January, which is not bad. You know, usually you have to wait years. They're not making you wait years in between seasons because you know what? They only use two cameras. They don't use any boom or anything like that. So they just, you know, and they only work in one place, that room. So I think it's easier to, instead of having to get locations and all that stuff. But oh yeah. My God, I'm so addicted to that show. I love it so much. I just love it, love it, love it.
They have to film quickly too, because isn't it supposed to take place kind of in real time? Like,
yes.
So yeah, they like, can't age, like they can't like.
Exactly. Right. That's yeah. true. That's true. Because it's well, one season is one shift. So
gotcha.
It's like a 15-hour shift. So okay. What's going to happen in this season is Noah Wiley's character wants to go on sabbatical. So he's going to go on sabbatical after his shift. And I have a feeling, you know, and all the doctors and nurses are taking bets because he wants to do 3 months and everybody's like, he's not going to last 3 months. But either way, when we come back in January, I'll bet he's coming back from sabbatical. So that's how it's going to go. But yeah, so they can, I think that, you know, I noticed in the second season, they all had longer hair, but time did go by. You just don't know how much. So yeah, it's great though. I fucking love that show. Okay. Let's go over to the elections and let's start just with good news. And I don't have anybody's name, so you'll just have to pardon me, but there's an Arkansas Democrat that flipped a House seat blue. Woohoo!
Oh, nice.
And then I don't know if you saw this, but let me get, okay. So the number of primary votes, okay, in North Carolina, the Republican got 251,000 plus. The Democrat got 383,000 plus.
Holy now, crap. Yeah, that's
and I
amazing.
Did the math. I did the math on all of them. So it was like, it was all the candidates under the Democratic ticket, all the candidates under the Republican ticket. And I think all the candidates equaled around 330 some thousand for Republicans and over 400,000 for the Democrats. So this is good fucking news.
For a primary. And there's people are so fired up to vote. It's amazing. Like, I wish they had been this way before, but I'm going to take it where it's at. And no, people are fired up to vote. So they're like, I'm going to go vote in the primary. Like, yeah. Oh, there's a ballot. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote.
And yeah. Then of course we saw some of the most egregious voter suppression with what they were doing in Texas, because I think, do you know it enough to explain it? What they did?
I don't know enough, but what I do know is Republicans love to sow infighting amongst Democrats.
Yeah.
So like, that's what they did in 2016 with Bernie and Hillary.
Yeah.
They laid all that groundwork to have infighting, to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And 100% know that they are, well, not 100, but 99.7% sure that that's what's going on now, is they were trying to sow distrust. And I don't know enough about it. I'm happy Jasmine was like, you know, let's move forward and let's
get
on, like, we need to unite as a party. I think that was, because we won't know what really happened. I didn't really have a horse in that race. I was going to be happy with whoever it was and get behind them because I like them both.
Yeah.
So,
I understand, and this was on the fault of the state elections, because I think they said it was supposed to be, and I'm not going to get this 100% correct. I'm just giving you a basic gist, everybody. So don't yell at me if I'm a little wrong, but it's kind of like this, where they said, okay, no matter where you live, you can go to any polling station you want. So if your polling station is 3 miles away, but there's a polling station a mile away from you, you can go to the one a mile away. And I don't know, somehow that got all fucked up. And specifically, of course, people of color and black voters were getting turned away from the polls. And so a smaller court judge yesterday extended the voting hours until 9 because of this, because people were getting turned away. And then I guess the Supreme Court of Texas said, no, you can't extend it till 9. So I don't know exactly all the details of that. I did see that Jasmine Crockett conceded. And I know that there was definitely dirty in that race, as far as, not dirty, but I mean, like, let me take that back. Not so much dirty, but it wasn't, definitely there was some issues and I don't want to say hurt feelings, because it's not about hurt feelings. I don't know. It you know, all the fucking races are upsetting, especially when it's between two Democrats. And I think, you know, I wanted to see Jasmine Crockett win because I really like her, but I'm not against How do you say his name? Tallarico?
James Tallarico, yeah.
Tallarico. So, you know, I mean, hey, he's a white man in Texas. Maybe he has a shot. I think Jasmine, I really like Jasmine Crockett. She was my preference. But like you said, I don't live in Texas. This was not my race. It's different when it's a national election, because whoever is elected is going to have an impact on legislation that affects all of us, no matter what state that senator is in. But in this case, it doesn't affect us because it is just a primary. So, yeah,
and I honestly, I love Jasmine. I love the fight in her. I love her spirit. I love how smart she is. And then I love everything I'm hearing from James. So it was kind of like,
yeah,
I feel like it was win-win for Dems.
Right.
I just hate that it came down to how shady it was. I hate that.
Yeah.
And I know that that was staged on purpose.
Of course it was. Yeah. And now, and again, you know, I, as a social media manager, you know, I'm scrolling social media all the time, and I see things, and I don't always commit it to memory, but I do know that now Paxton and Cornyn are fighting it out. And so this is, you know, that's going to be kind of entertaining.
My wife and I were laughing last night at there was a third candidate, and he had not like a lot of votes, but he had enough that he spoiled it. And we were just laughing. We were just like, this isn't.
Yes, exactly. It's like, spoiler, fuck you.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, now I want to ask you a question. And I'm just going to see what you think, and then I'll weigh in or whatever. But we've got a lot of talk right now about, you know, we've got a war going on that pretty much nobody wants. I'll get into that later. Long story short, people think the elections are going to be canceled. So what do you think?
So I think he's going to try. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to try, and I think we need to be ready for it. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to try to, like, create enough national emergencies that he declares martial law, and he'll mm-hmm. try to do something. But at the same time, he doesn't have the authority to do so, but mm-hmm. he's going to try.
Yes.
And
of course
that's,
he will.
So I think that is what we need to be prepared for, that he doesn't have the legal authority, but he's going to try. And he doesn't have the legal authority to attack Iran. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the congressional approval to do it. He's using
he did it.
Like a decades old AUMF that has yet to been repealed yet, like an mm-hmm. authorization of military force. So he's using the 2001, I think. So it's absolutely absurd. And that's why Congress needs to vote. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem is he's not allowed to do it, but he did it.
And that's the thing. And that's why I'm a little bit worried about the election.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think we need to know he can't and be prepared for when he tries to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I just kind of want to throw out there to everybody, you know, I see people going, he's going to cancel the elections. The elections are going to be canceled. And I really want to please beg you, don't frame it that way.
No, because people aren't going to want to vote. And it's,
we set up an expectation.
Yep.
You know, if all we do, it's like, it's the same argument that I was saying when everybody just kept saying we're doomed. Stop making that declaration. It's not true. Maybe you feel that way, but that doesn't make it true. You know what? I used to say to myself, the universe is against me. And that's a fucking crock of shit. But I believed it because I had a pity party and I felt sorry for myself because life didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to. And then I would come up with, oh, well, the universe is against me. Did that make it true? No. So it's like, we don't know right now.
Yeah.
This has not been written yet. We can all guess, because I agree with you. He is absolutely going to try. That doesn't mean he's going to be successful. It doesn't mean that elections are going to be stopped. I do believe we have to be completely prepared for it. And we have to be not only prepared for it mentally, but we have to be prepared for it legally. So we can hurry up and fix that shit when it comes to, you know, when he does whatever it is he does. But let's not help him with making the declaration that it's not going to happen. That's serving Donald Trump when you say that. God, it pisses me off. So anyway,
I've said it in close circles with friends, like he's going to try to do this, but we can't be like, he's going to do this. But like, that's not.
It's different to say he's going to try than just to declare we're not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we have to be smart. We have to write, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we should pretend things aren't true. Of course it's true. He's already floating that he's going to try to stop it. We all know this. And,
I think it's in Project 2025.
Yeah, like, I mean, we all understand what their goals are, but we don't have to make their goals easier for them by declaring them true. Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's just an issue that I have. And, you know, I mean, I feel like it's not rocket science, but Democrats are so used to being the underdogs and the, oh, woe is me fucking party. And I'm sick of it. You know, I mean, we just saw there was a poll that says Democrats are not too liberal. They're too weak. And so it's not just the leadership. I think a lot of the time the voters have this tendency to, it's the Eeyore Democrats. It's the, you know, they're so, yes, they're fucking awful. The president is a fucking pedo racist, a rapist, racist. And I'm not afraid to call him a pedophile because he never fucking sues anybody who calls him a pedophile. Guess
no,
why?
Because he can't.
Yes. So it's like, duh. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's anyway, I get so angry.
I get so angry about that too. I call him up. I made a video yesterday. It was a selfie thing. And it was like, I called him a pedophile. I was like, that's what he is.
Yeah,
because
he's not going to sue you.
He's
You can't say anything about his very tall son because you will get sued. His very tall son, who would probably not be accepted by the military, and that's all I'm going to say. But so you know, everybody keeps saying send Barron.
They wouldn't. And we know why.
Yes, we know why. But and we're talking in code, right? But the thing here is of course because he's the president. I mean, Bo Biden fought in a war, or you know, Bo Biden was in the military, and he. He wasn't like, oh, well, I'm a president's son or a vice president or senator's son or whatever, so I don't have to. No, he did it. But we all know Barron's never going to. If Barron would be a candidate that would be favorable for the military, he still wouldn't go. But I just don't think he is. So, okay. So, yeah, I think that this is what I think as far as the midterms. I do think there's going to be shenanigans, but I think they're going to happen. And I think because it's really up to the states, he's not going to be able to federalize this. And I would be really fucking surprised if the Supreme Court gave him that before the election. As much as I don't trust the Supreme Court, I don't see that happening. I could be wrong. You know, I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I think we're going to have elections. I think we're just going to see more of the shenanigans that we saw in Texas, where, you know, they're going to give information that isn't accurate. They're going to make it confusing. They're going to make it harder for people to vote. He's trying to end mail-in voting, which he can't do because all of Oregon is mail-in voting. So I think we're going to get to the midterms. It'll be a rocky road, and God only knows what he's going to do. But I think we're going to do it. And I think what we have to do is be prepared. Everybody needs to be prepared because, you know, there's going to be so many fucking restrictions. Have a plan. You know, get the day off of work if you can. You have plenty of time. I know not every employer is going to allow it, but if you can do it, get the day off. At least get a portion of the day off. Just be prepared for it. Have everything ready to go. And, you know, I know there's going to be some instances where we see ice at the polling places. So you just have to, you know, I don't know, be brave and just don't let them intimidate you. But I think we're going to have them. And I think we're going to, despite all of their cheating and suppression and all that shit that they do, I think that we're going to see numbers bigger than 2018.
I think so too. No, I really, really do. And can I speak to the mail-in vote for a second?
Yes, please.
So I lived in Oregon for 3 years and it was so easy. They even sent you a booklet like explaining the issues and like who you're voting. Anyway, it's great. Mail-in voting is the safest way to vote. It's the safest and most secure. And that's why they don't like it. Joe Biden won in 2020 because it was heavily mail-in ballot and they couldn't rig it. And I'm not even being conspiratorial about that. It's just true. It's the safest method and they couldn't find ways around it. And that's why Trump was so upset that Biden won because he thought he could do it again. Mm-hmm. So it is the safest method of voting. And that's why they want to get rid of it. Hands down. Yeah. That's it.
Oi, it's just, I know we got this crazy fucking road ahead of us and it's going to be bad. You know, I mean, everybody's looking around now. He's got this fucking rash on his neck And
oh, God. Yeah, it looks like shingles,
it
but
does.
it's.
But you know what? I saw some person on YouTube. Where did he get? He got some kind of, and it was the White House put out information saying he was using a cream. And this guy did whatever research he needed to do. And there is a cream that creates a rash, and it's for cancer. Like it's a, what is that treatment? What do you call the treatment for cancer? And I can't
Oh,
think of, but
like
anyway,
chemotherapy?
yes, chemotherapy treatment. And so I guess it's this particular kind of a cream that, yeah, it will cause a rash that looks like what he has. So
Oh.
perhaps he's being treated for skin cancer on his neck. He's always outside. Plus, the other thing, this particular YouTuber pointed out that when you're on this cream, you can't be in the sun. And Trump hasn't been golfing for quite a while. So I
Fascinating.
think that's probably what it is. I mean, they
Okay.
don't tell us, so we all have to guess. But yeah, that's probably, and I'm going to say something else too that I'm not sure about because I didn't finish watching. But what he did was he showed a body, like, it was like a picture of a body and where all of the, I don't know what you would call them, sensor things where you're going to get rashes from shingles. And normally they kind of, the way he explained it is the shingles rash comes because it like, it kind of goes in a line. And there are certain areas of the body that it's going to hit. And so this is what I didn't finish watching. I think the neck part was not part of where shingles hits, but I'm not positive, so I could totally be wrong on that. But yeah, I think there's a good chance that it could be this chemotherapy cream that he's talking about. But either way, this is just adding to, you know, the fucking hand bruises on both hands.
Oh,
Those,
he's not well. He's
yeah.
really not well. I've even, like, if you look at Sir, you know how he always walks around. I always used to make a comment about it, being like, he's so sloppy when he would always walk around with his jacket open, like in 2016. I'm like, why doesn't he learn? And then, like, the tie would drape like a flaccid tongue and it would look gross. And I'd be like, ugh, just like button your jacket, man. Like, look proper. And he never did. Now he's buttoning his jacket. And I have no evidence of this, but like I've also been down that rabbit hole on like listening to nurses on social media who can see the outline of kind of like an LVAD, kind of like to help his heart. And you kind of wear it and you can kind of, and I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, right. Yes, because you know what? There was also speculation when his jacket was open. I don't know. Did you see that
That
about?
somebody saw something, and now
Yes.
if you pay attention, his jacket's closed a lot now.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, okay, and that guy who I don't know, he's the episiotomist. Wait, what's I not the episiotomist. What's that guy's name? I don't know. He's on Instagram and he's always talking about Trump's ill health and he's giving him 2 months, you know I mean, and he's not saying that he's going to necessarily die in 2 months, but he just thinks that it's within 2 months from right now Trump will either not be here or if he is here he's not going to be able to speak coherently enough and everyone's going to have to say, you know, all right, we have to do something now, so we'll see. I mean that takes us to what, May? So sometime maybe in May we'll see.
Sent Izzy Stevens to the White House. I don't know.
I just, you know, I mean, we're all waiting. I mean, I like to sometimes find people on YouTube who are predicting his demise, whether, again, whether it's he leaves or his 25th Amendment it out or whatever they think. And so there was one person who thought it was going to be on February 17th. Clearly, they were wrong. So there was another person. Now I don't know who these people are. I don't. It's not like I've listened to them before and they've been right. I have no idea. They're just fucking randos. But you know, if they're gonna predict a death of this guy, I want to hear what they have to say. So I don't care if they're fucking grifters. I just still want to hear what they have to say because it's kind of fun to think about it. But this next woman that, or there's a woman who predicted March 14th, and she said that she got that date specifically. Even though she specified it could be in or around that date, but she said, I got that date. And then she thinks it's because like a foreign leader gets him. So, okay, let's just dance with this for a minute and pretend it's not true, but like, okay, let's say maybe she's right, right? Maybe she's accurate. And she got the date of March 14th. And maybe because Trump is attacking these other countries and there's tariffs and all, people are pissed, right? The world is pissed at him. So it wouldn't surprise me if somebody, you know, wanted to do something to him. Maybe like, here's a scenario that could play out because of the way she said it's like March 14th, but it could be before or after. I don't know, a little bit before or after. Let's just say that there was an attempt from a, you know, a foreign country to get rid of him, which is not my preference. I do not want him murdered. But
no, I don't. No.
I do not want him murdered. I'd much rather just natural causes, but in front of all of our faces. But
maybe a little embarrassing, but we'll
Let him be embarrassed. Let it, or you know, let him just hang around for a while so he can suffer and know, and then crash out. But my preference is all on his own. But if it were to be this scenario that this woman is talking about, maybe somebody would make the effort a few days before March 14th, and then March 14th it would be over. So I don't know. That's just, you know, what I don't even know what you would call it. Not even a guess. I mean, it's a psychic that I don't even know if she's psychic. You know what I mean? I don't know what her track record is. But I'm never going to stop listening to when people make these predictions, because if they say they have a prediction, I just want to see. It gives me something to look forward to.
He's not doing well. Like, he's really not doing well. He looks terrible.
Yeah.
And like, I was watching him with the State of the Union speech too. And you know how he'll always read a teleprompter and then go off book.
Yeah.
And he was reading it really steadily. And he was even mispronouncing words that like were obvious words. And you're like, huh? Okay.
Well, this doctor from Instagram. Okay. This is going to be gross. So I'm sorry in advance to everybody who's going to be grossed out by this. But this doctor, let me see, I'm going to find his name while I'm telling the story. But, you know, Trump has a lot of extra saliva. You hear him slurping all the time, right? He's always going, and so there was, this doctor had interviewed a voice. Okay, so let me just look at it. It's, I don't know how to say this. It's EPISTEMIC crisis, epistemic crisis. Okay, that's his name. That's the Instagram guy who's always talking about Trump's health. So a while back, he shared a video from a woman who is like a speech therapist, or she has like a PhD or some kind of, you know, medical, she's somewhere in the medical profession. And she's also, I guess, some kind of a, I don't know if it's a speech therapist, but it has to do with speech. Anyway, she said that with all that slurping, if it were one of her clients, she would immediately send him to the hospital, because I think it's either dementia or heart. And so I think it's dementia. It is. It's that frontal lobe thing, dementia. And so I guess what happens is it becomes increasingly difficult for people who have it, as it gets worse, to swallow. And okay, so there's that. Now this is the gross part. So this doctor showed us that during the State of the Union, when Trump was talking, aside from all the slurping, he was fucking spitting out tonsil stones.
Ew,
and they were landing, and like they slow-mo'd it, and you could see it.
Oh, God.
And he was saying that because he, you know, I mean, look, people who still have their tonsils, so Trump would still have to have his tonsils, but people who still have their tonsils are going to get tonsil stones. It's really gross, but they get them. But what this doctor is saying, what's happening is that he's not swallowing correctly, and it's getting dry in his throat, and they're fucking popping out. I'm going to throw up. It's so gross.
That's so gross. I'm so glad I don't have tonsils.
But it's just another indication that he is like falling apart in front of our eyes.
He really is. Like he's decomposing. Like between his neck and his hands and like his, and it just
and his
everything.
Ankles.
His ankles. And like, you can tell they're trying to like overdo his makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And his hair is different too. It looks like it's thinning more.
It is. And it's whiter.
Yeah. Like, shit's going down.
Yeah. I think he's not quite, I mean, we all know that he's incredibly vain.
Yeah.
Even though the look that he landed on was clownish, he was vain about it and he wanted it. because he felt that was his signature branded look.
He's like, I want a definitely, I want a makeup line.
And I want it to, give me that makeup line.
I want it to be clear. I don't want it blended.
No blending.
Yeah, no blending. And if you put makeup on my hand, also no blending. Just to slab it on there.
Oh my God. All right. I got to just bring this up. So first of all, let me just start this by saying that, you know, I've been a bit on a rampage because I'm noticing that Facebook has turned into the National Enquirer and people don't really know it. People are sharing fucking disinformation and it's not political. It's just pop culture shit.
I agree. And
so they don't understand. So many people don't even like, oh, so what? So I shared this thing that isn't true. So what? I'm going to keep it up. Because it serves whatever I believe. And okay, like what, I'll give you an example. I've already talked about this, but it's a combination of Stevie Nicks, Bette Midler, Cher, and then a man got thrown into the mix, and I can't remember who the man was. All telling Caroline Leavitt to sit down, baby girl, or whatever. They never fucking said it. And Cher said it, according to Facebook, and then Bette Midler said it, and all of them say it. And then here's how you know it's fake. Because if you Google it, it just goes back to Facebook. Or there is a Facebook page. Let's say it's named XYZ. So then whoever owns the Facebook page XYZ created a blog called XYZ. And then they post that information on the blog as the quote unquote source.
Yeah.
And that's all you got. If that's all you find, if that's your only source, it's a fucking lie. And
you
people
have to.
Are sharing
you have
it
to verify.
They're sharing it left and right. And then it goes into the political because there, I don't know her name, but there was that age old picture of Donald Trump with some Ingrid. I think her name is Ingrid something. She's a Swedish model. So people are superimposing Pam Bondi's younger face on her, and liberals are sharing it and falling for it, thinking that that was Pam Bondi. And then when you try to prove to them, when you show them the original picture, they don't care.
No, it's
and
not,
they
yeah,
don't remove
it's not
it.
Helpful. It's not helpful at all.
And so I am just I try to tell people, but now what I'm starting to do is just quietly. I don't make big announcements. I'm not telling them they're wrong. I just unfollow them because it's like you're sharing national. You're basically sharing the National Enquirer. And the reason that it's so dangerous is because it's getting us numb and we're just accepting anything we see. So when things that are political that come down in their lives, we just, oh, that fits my narrative. I'm sharing that. And it's so fucking dangerous. And it's just making me so angry. So now the latest thing, and I'm sure you've seen it, is everybody thinks fucking Jim Carrey's been cloned. Have you seen that?
I have.
He's not been cloned, people.
No, he's not cloned.
Not
that was
Alex,
him.
And it was, there was like some.
They're trying to say it was like a makeup guy. Like
yeah, and he just did
on.
It.
And I'm like.
He said that he pretended to be Jim Carrey because everybody was so gullible and he knew they'd believe him.
Yeah.
And
no,
they did.
They believed him. It wasn't. That was Jim Carrey. And Kathy Griffin came on and was like, that's Jim Carrey. I worked in Jim Carrey's house for 2 years. That was fucking Jim Carrey.
Listen to it. It was his voice. And then if he had plastic surgery. That's what happened. And he just looks a little different.
He looks like what's his face? Bradley, what's his face did? Yeah. Bradley Cooper. Like they're fucking up their faces. Like they're
right.
Like they're doing like too much Botox on top and then it's like sagging and then some sort of cheek filler shit. Like Simon Cowell fucked up his face too. Like all these guys are doing the surgery and I'm like, somebody tell them not to because I'd rather see an old man who's aging gracefully than whatever the fuck you're trying to do to your faces.
Yeah. It looks awful. But the fact that, you know, I got corrected on Blue Sky by somebody who was like, oh, it wasn't a clone. It was Alexa Stone or whatever the guy's name is who does like face. And, you know, so I went to this guy's IG and he did put on a mask and pretend that he was, what's his name? I'll think of his name in a minute. Jack Nicholson. And so he put on a Jack Nicholson mask and he put on, I think basically what he wore was something from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or something, some weird outfit like that. And he had a cigar. And you could, he was so obviously not real.
Yeah.
But I looked at his face, his, because I heard like this guy, because this person who commented said it, he proved it. And I thought, I went to his site, he did not prove it.
No.
But I looked at, you could tell the Jack Nicholson thing was a mask. He also created one for Cruella de Vil.
I saw
and it was
yeah.
the Glenn Close Cruella.
And I did the same thing. I went to his IG.
Yeah. And you can see it, they look fake. The person that was the Jim Carrey clone did not look fake. It was a real person.
It looked exactly like Jim Carrey did, and he got like the Bradley Cooper bad face job. Yeah.
And then on top of it, you can also hear that it's him. Now, another thing, everybody, you know, what's her name? Ghislaine Maxwell was in that deposition. And so I figured out, because they were saying, this is not Ghislaine Maxwell. And they would show a picture of her in the deposition and then another picture of her from earlier. And so I was like, all right, what's going on here? So I go and I look up the deposition, and it's from a distance. There's no way you can see her face up close. So in what we were seeing circulated was a graphic with what I believe was an enhanced picture of her face from the deposition and then a picture of her from before, whenever. And so when you enhance a photograph, this is what really got me. Ghislaine Maxwell has hooded eyelids. And in the photograph, she does not have hooded eyelids. Plus, she's wearing glasses. So an AI enhancement is not going to know to give someone hooded eyes. It's going to give you eyes that are not hooded. I don't know what the correct term is. But it's not going to automatically give anybody hooded eyelids. So I think what it was they got that picture from afar and they enhanced it, and the enhancement guessed at her eyes. And then there was also a difference in her nose. But noses, it looks like she's gained weight, and then also your nose and your ears always get bigger. So noses change. So then I went and I listened to her voice, and there is and I really specifically wanted to hear her when she was in prison when Joe Biden was the president, because I thought, all right, if this isn't her, then the switch was made after Trump was in office. If there was going to be this big switch and she's out of prison, because it was Ghislaine who was arrested during Joe Biden's presidency. So during Joe Biden's presidency, she was interviewed by some television, like the Today Show or something like that. And it had her on the phone, and you can listen to her voice there, and you listen to the voice in the deposition, and it's the fucking same. So I had to do some digging, but I figured it out. It's Ghislaine. It's not a fake Ghislaine. But all these people are taking a graphic on the internet and going, it's not her. And then they'll say things like, they think we're so stupid. You know, I've watched Law and Order enough to know this is a fake. And it's like, oh my God.
I've watched ER, now I'm a doctor.
Exactly. And it's like, oh my God, it's just, I see it so much and I wish people were more careful. I fucking hate Facebook, but I'm on it because I'm trying to use my platform for the good. There's a lot of shit. So I'm trying to use it for the good.
Here's my thing is, like, we know Donald Trump is shitty. We're seeing all the shitty things he's doing. You don't need to make shit up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just go with what you got. Everyone's jumping on it.
Yeah.
Because they're they hate him so much, and I get it, but let's not make it worse. But they're doing, oh my God,
But what you do when you make shit up and it's found to not be true is then everything else you're saying can also be said that's not true. So you're not doing yourself any favors. Go with what you know is true.
Yes.
Keep that conspiracy in the back of your head, like all of us do.
Yeah.
And be like, maybe, but I'm not going to put that out there because I don't know that to be true.
You know, there was this woman that I knew, and she was a plagiarist. And she's liberal. And so she posted something. I don't remember what it was. I don't think what she posted was plagiarized. But she's a friend of my mother. So my mother told her friend, hey, you should know that person you just shared is a plagiarist. And my mom's friend was like, I don't care. I like what she said. I mean, how do you even fight that?
Yeah,
Like, I
exactly.
will never, I don't care if what she said in that post was original. To know that someone is a plagiarist, I mean, this one was blatantly, I think she's mentally ill, but I can't really say anything. But she has plagiarized so many things. And I, you know, I mean, my mom and I know for sure. But what are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, a couple other things that I want to talk about, but I do want to talk about women in the 90s and weight and women now with weight. But before I get
Ooh.
into that, because I think it kind of ties together, there's definitely, and I just want to ask you, you know, like what you're seeing out there, or I should say, are you seeing anything different when it comes to how both women and men are talking about patriarchy? Because I am seeing a difference. Are
I'm seeing
you?
a, I am, I honestly, this is, I've actually, one of my best friends, we've been having this ongoing conversation for months. I think we're, I was going to say turning point, but I will not. I think we're at a tipping point of like, we're seeing, I don't know if it's coming to an end, but it's coming to a head of the patriarchy pushing. And like what we did, I saw this great meme, of course, that was like, we raised a bunch of women to like push back against the patriarchy, but we didn't teach the men how to deal with it. So basically it's like we're coming, like the patriarchy and these empowered women are coming together and the patriarchy is pushing back really, really hard. Like, oh, it's the male loneliness ep epidemic. No, it's fucking not. It's men being held accountable for their actions.
And then they're
And they're
feeling like
lonely because,
victims.
yeah, they're lonely because they're assholes and they should look in the mirror if they want to see what's wrong with their lives. Oh, it's you. Yeah, it's you.
Yes, and I, you know, I mean, I came up on the internet in like the 2011, 2012 era, right? And so that was when Rush Limbaugh was talking about Sandra Fluke being a slut for 3 days on his podcast. That led me to writing an open letter to him, getting me, what was like, I was the spokesperson for Rock the Slut Vote. And then, you know, it was this whole push for, hey, everybody, the GOP is calling us sluts. And we vote and fuck you. And so, okay, great. And then look what happened. So we won in 2012. Obama won. And then look what happened. We got Donald Trump and everything that, oddly though, the first term of Donald Trump's presidency, the last three states needed, or actually, I think maybe in Biden, the last one was, but for the ERA, we needed three more states to sign on. We got two, and I think Virginia was the last, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, yeah.
And I believe that was when Joe Biden was president. So, but it was interesting that that ball got rolling again after all those years, after all those decades, when Donald Trump became president. But you know, I'm definitely seeing, and I am seeing it more from men, not as much as I would like, because yeah, men are kind of freaked out about what's happening. But there's a lot of progressive men that are speaking up about it and talking about how we need to refocus and look at things differently. And I just want to be clear here, like as people have a tendency to think a matriarchy is all women rule or women having all the power, and it isn't. A
No.
matriarchy is a feminine energy, but it's more about a certain, like patriarchy is from the top down. It's like the trickle down that doesn't work. Matriarchy is like a circle. Like,
Yes,
let's take
yes.
care of each other. What can we do
Yeah.
to take care of each other?
And focuses
So,
around children too. Yes. Yeah.
yes.
Yes.
So and I'm seeing more progressive men because I don't think the answer is just to go all women. I think that's an easy and lazy argument. We are a world of women and men. We have, you know, the genders, we have the sexes, lots of different people, lots of different kinds of people. It shouldn't just be one kind of person representing us. I think it should be, you know, the people who represent us should look like us and act like us and understand where we all coming from. And so, yeah, I think we are headed toward more of a matriarchal place, but that's, you know, that's later on down the road because right now we're
Yeah.
like,
Well,
we're in the
now,
thick of it.
yeah, we're having men push back, like who are like patriarchal, like another, and women too, who have the brainwashing being like, oh, you just want a whole women-led society. I mean, yes, but like you want a whole women-led society, and they think of it in a patriarchal mind, as in like we're just gonna take over for the men and do to men what men have done to us, and that is what they're scared of.
It is.
And That is not what we're talking about.
No.
That's
no,
not
because
me,
we have no desire to do that. Oh my God, it's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
But I do feel good because I think the conversation of feminism, I mean, on the right, they're always going to demonize feminists, but the feminist conversation, the patriarchal conversation is being had, and I'm glad. I think it's a good thing, and I think only good is going to come from it, even though, you know, we have a long road. It's not an easy road. It's not going to be easy. Don't expect that, but yeah. And then the last thing I kind of want to bring up is I really want to read Christina Applegate's memoir because I've been reading, you know, like, I guess it just came out and I'm seeing quotes. One of the things that I read about her is that while she was on Married with Children, she was anorexic. She was eating 4 almonds a day.
Oh,
and
my
if
God.
She ate 5 almonds a day, she got completely freaked out and would cry and was praised for her body up and down by the world because she was eating 4 almonds a day. And
oh,
this
God.
Is like the second Gen X, and I can't remember who the first was. This is like the second Gen X woman in a week that was on some television show that talked about, you know, whether it was bulimia or anorexia in order to be accepted. And, you know, now I thought we were going in a much better direction. I thought we were, you know, these Gen Zers and millennials were kind of like, fuck this shit. I don't want to, you know, be the skinny mini, blah, blah, blah. But then fucking the GLP ones come out and all of a sudden you're starting to, I don't know if you've seen Demi Moore, and I really don't want this to be about bagging on the women who are choosing it or the men who are choosing it, because I think it's all coming from pressure. It's just pressure from society. But like Kelly Osbourne and Demi Moore are so skinny that it's upsetting, and it's, I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying, what kind of world are we creating where women feel that this is what they must look like in order to be valuable?
Yeah, I know. I think Kelly too, for her specifically, I think there's a lot of depression there for with her surrounding her dad's passing. But yeah, I saw her and I was concerned.
It's shocking.
Yeah, I was very concerned for her.
Yeah, and she's yelling at everyone and saying, you know, I can't believe women aren't supporting women. And it's not about women supporting women. It is about women supporting women.
It is about women supporting women. I'm concerned about her.
Yeah, like, because it's like, I always take, like, I say this about Trump. If he were my father and I loved him, I would be concerned. And if she were my daughter, I would be terrified.
Yes.
I would be terrified if my daughter looked like that. And I just, you know, I mean, it's one thing like back in the, you know, 90s when the size zero, because that's what Christina Applegate was dealing with, a size zero. And, you know, I mean, so was I. And here I am 6 feet tall with large bones. And if I was a size 8, people came up to me. Now, I don't think the industry people would have, but people in my real life, including my doctor, because there was one time when I was a size 8, I just got really sick and I lost a bunch of weight and everybody was so concerned. And I was like, don't worry, it will come back. And it did. But, you know, because my bones are very big, they're not little bones. So when I got super skinny, my bones looked wrong. I looked wrong. I remember this guy came up to me in my acting class because I had something called severe bacterial sinusitis. And I had already had an eating disorder. So, but my eating disorder, I didn't get too skinny. But then I got sick on top of it. So I got skinny. And this guy came up to me, you know, I did gain it back. And I only had an eating disorder briefly. But he was so concerned. He's like, you really don't look good. And I was like, I know. I'm just like, thank you, but I will get better. And I did. And thankfully, I didn't have an eating disorder. But I just feel like, so, I mean, I didn't have one for long, but I feel like a lot of these women, I'd like for them to come out more and talk about that because, you know, especially, you know, I don't know what it's like now. I'm sure women are, you know, I know women are feeling it. I mean, we also saw the two women from Wicked. I can't remember their names, but the two women who starred in Wicked are
the
like
lead are Ariana Grande and
Ariana Grande, and then the woman who played,
Cynthia Erivo. Yeah,
yes, both of them are very, very thin, and I don't know why, and I don't have a problem with someone losing weight. It's just that when you get so when you are almost like skeleton like, It's concerning. It's not only concerning for the individual who's so skinny, it's concerning that all these people online, all these young girls are looking at these people and saying, oh, this is what I need to look like in order to be valued.
Yeah. I had the similar situation back in the 90s where I was like, I got down. I think we're about the same height. I'm about 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I also have larger bones. I'm big. I'm built like an athlete.
Yeah.
And so I did like some like local runway kind of stuff, like where you like do like bathing suits and this and that. And I was like so skinny. And then to the point where like my mom was buying me protein shakes because
right.
she's worried. And then like, and I get there to do a fitting and they told me they were like, oh, you're kind of bigger than what we were expecting. And I was like, holy, like that was the 90s.
Yeah.
And I'm wow. like, yeah, no, I don't. I was like, I don't need this. That's bullshit. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I got told the same thing. You know, I mean, there was a casting director who was overweight and she was a woman. And she figured out that I was wearing like support hose that I had cut off kind of as a girdle. And she put her hand on my leg and felt it. And as soon as she felt it, she kind of knew that that was, you know, my insecurity or whatever. And so she told me, you know, you need to lose weight or you're never going to be taken seriously. I was pretty thin at that point. And I also had another person tell me that she worked on Suddenly Susan with Brooke Shields. And Brooke Shields and I are basically, at that time, we were the same. I might have actually been a little leaner than her at that time.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And she told me that if I didn't lose 20 pounds, I wasn't going to be considered sexy, and how Brooke Shields was much thinner than I was. And I mean, and that woman was a bitch. I'm not going to say who she is. And a lot of people might know her, but I'm not going to drop that name. But still, it was, and that's what led me to the eating disorder. I'm not blaming her. It was just, I had heard enough. And I thought, that's it. I'm not going to be taken seriously unless I fucking make myself sick. And so I had bulimia, and I'm grateful that the bulimia that I had was not, how can I say? I didn't consistently do it. I did it. I'm not going to get into too many details because I know that that could trigger people, but I'm just going to say that it wasn't something that I did like other people. I think, you know, you hear the term binge and purge. I didn't do that. I just got rid of meals that I felt weren't up to, you know, my impossible standards of what I could consume. And so if I ate something that I thought had too many calories or something, I would get rid of it. But it wasn't every single day. And then I went on birth control and I immediately gained 15 pounds. And I thought, what am I fucking going to do about this? I can't eating disorder this away. So I just stopped. And I was afraid because I thought, if I keep doing this, I'm going to ruin my esophagus. I'm going to ruin my teeth. I'm going to ruin my stomach. So I just stopped. And I was really grateful that was, because I think in, you know, I mean, my eating disorder, the control was about controlling calories and fat and nutritional intake, as opposed to me having, you know, I know some people have eating disorders because, you know, maybe they were coming from abusive families and or having some kind of a life that they didn't feel they control, and they felt they could control the food. That was not my mindset. I had a different mindset. And I don't want to say one is better than the other or whatever, because they're all fucking bad and they're all unhealthy. But that was what I had. And I was just grateful that it was easy for me to stop. And it was just kind of such a fucking relief. And I didn't do it for that long. But it's like, I grew up in that time. And I remember just looking around and thinking, oh my God, everybody's a fucking size zero. And I can't do this. And I just, it was awful. And now I look at some of these women and I think, this is worse than the 90s. Where yeah. are we going?
Oh, I know. When I the last couple of years, I had, not this past year because I don't do it anymore, but I had a bit of a drinking problem. I was drinking way too much and I had put on a lot of weight. And I'm down like over 60 pounds now.
Yay, but congratulations.
Thank you. I feel better. My heart's better. I'm able to yeah. exercise better. I don't snore at night anymore. My wife likes that. but at the same time, like I did use a GLP-1. I absolutely did. And it actually curbed my cravings for alcohol. I don't drink wow. at all. And Yeah, I don't drink at all anymore. And then but once I got to my goal weight, like I stopped. Now I take like a maintenance every other week or whatever. But I do think people might be abusing it
Well, yeah, and that's what
badly.
I mean. Everyone, there's always going to be abuse. Like, there's the people who use it responsibly, and then there are the people who take advantage of it because they just, whatever. Whether they don't have the time to go on a diet proper, whatever it is that they're doing, and they do abuse it. And then they get too skinny. Because I think, I was looking at Kelly Osbourne last summer, and she was had lost weight, but she looked good. She was slender, and nobody would have looked at her and said she's overweight. Not anybody at all. And then it just kept getting worse, and she kept losing more, and she kept losing more. And it's like right now I'm on this, and I'm gonna let you go because I know I've kept you forever, longer than I expected. But I finally have figured out how to lose weight as a postmenopausal woman. And the funny thing is I have been allergic to dairy ever since the 90s, before we had all the alternatives. We had nothing. And I would eat dairy and I would get cystic acne, although it would aggravate my already existing cystic acne. Because when I stopped having dairy, I think it cleared up about 70%. So anyway, I have avoided dairy for 30 years. I won't go into the long story of it, but I recently started incorporating it back in. And now I've incorporated, I was incorporating good culture cottage cheese. That was okay. And then I recently started doing the Greek yogurt, the non-fat Greek yogurt. And so far, so good. Now, the interesting thing was when I started eating that and replacing other meals with that, I started noticing that I was leaner. I mean, not thin, but like I could see my stomach's kind of not as bloated and my thighs are a little bit like I can tell by the way my clothes are fitting me. And so I'm actually right now using ChatGTP and I'm logging everything that I eat, all the, I'm like, here's what I ate, tell me my macros for the day. And I'm logging it all and I'm actually eating more than I ever have. Because I was one of these women in the 90s who was like, restrict, restrict, restrict. If you wanted to be thin, you stopped eating. So that's what I did. And you did a lot of cardio. When you're a menopausal, postmenopausal woman, that does not work.
It does not.
And so I am not used to eating more food. And basically, I have bumped my cal. I went from starvation mode, which actually was holding the weight on me. I think I was eating anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 calories a day. And that just wasn't enough. And I wasn't getting any workouts or anything. And I wasn't eating enough protein. Now I've upped my protein to about 100 to 150 grams a day. And I'm just doing light working out. I'm not going crazy. If I lose weight too fast, I get what's called, let me think, what is it called? Basically, hallucinations. I smell burning smoke and I smell like rotting meat. It's a thing. And I'm not going to get into that. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. But when I lose weight too fast, that triggers it. So I have to be slow. So I'm eating around 14 to 1500 calories and I'm noticing a difference every single day. Every week I put I wear the same pants to go to the store because I'm just like, I want to see each week what my body's doing, because I won't weigh myself. And each week they're getting looser and looser and looser. So I finally figured out for me, and everybody's different, what's going to work. But I'll just tell you right now, if you're a woman, I'm 57, if you're a woman, whether in or past menopause, and you think calorie restriction and lots of cardio is going to do it for you and you're not losing weight, trust me on this. It's definitely about maybe upping your calories and getting about 100 to 150 grams of protein every day and getting some strength training in. That's
Strength.
what it's all about.
I was gonna say strength training. Yeah, you want to get your bones so they,
And you don't even have to do a lot. You just do enough to where you're, making a difference, but you don't have to sit there for an hour and do it. I like do 20 minutes. And I do different variations of it. Some days I don't have as much energy. Plus, I have arthritis. So I have to work through the arthritis and all that shit. So I just do, like, I don't push myself. I motivate myself and push myself to do it in the first place, but I'm not overly like, oh my God, I have to keep going. I'm not doing that to myself anymore. I'm just being cool. And it's happening. So I'm glad. I'm grateful for it. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think about all the stuff and I think here we're talking about, you know, losing weight and this and that. And then like there's the world's on fire.
Right.
But everything's burning.
I need to be fit for the revolution. I need to be fit for the revolution. I can't like be out of breath going up the stairs.
I know. Yes. I need to be healthy for the revolution. There you go. There's my excuse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, it's always a good time talking to you. Of course, I say this every time, but tell everybody where to find you.
You can find me pretty much everywhere as Sarah Wood Writer, like writing things down. And then on Blue Sky is Sarah Wood. And awesome. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Alrighty. Well, Sarah, it's always fun talking to you and I know we'll talk again.
Yes.
Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter,
and grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.